We've done It's War from Jeremy. That's a little bit of a sobering one. Dave Richards and Chris and friends came and talked to us about some of what the opposition gets up to and how to pick the right side. Brian spoke to us about trials and growing up a little bit and tests for your faith. And Gary, I thought appropriately, spoke about temptation and how to resist it. And we're into the series finale now, which is it's all about winning. And Jeremy's not here this week, so I've put Preston North End up for those of you who missed them last week, the Invincibles. And that slide Jeremy showed us, which I thought was really helpful for orientation, actually, that there is a war on, but it will be over. And when it is over, the opposition will be gone. I find that quite helpful, actually. There will be a time when the tears are over, and there will be a time when there isn't an enemy. And I find that a prospect filled with hope for all of us. But that time is not now, is it? It's not now. And Jeremy's left us with, I was going to play I'm Still Standing, but I thought that might be a bit cheesy, but you're thinking of it, aren't you? Jeremy's talk last week was about stand, wasn't it? It sounds easy enough, but some of us, especially if we've just had a recent hip replacement or whatever, something wrong with the knees, or maybe something's gone wrong for us, standing's not that easy. It's not that easy. There are other times when standing's hard, when everyone else is sitting down and looking at you. That's hard. In fact, I'm told it's easier to face the firing squad than it is to give a public address. I've never tested that, but that's what I'm told. Standing. And I just encourage you to stand. Not now. You could if you want to. But to stand. And we've had pictures of like shield walls, haven't we? And when you see a shield wall, you see a shield wall. When you see a crowd, you see a crowd. But when you're in a shield wall, there's only one shield that actually matters to you, isn't there? Well, maybe three, one each side of you. Possibly four, one over you. There's only a few shields that really, really matter. And that's the one you're holding, the one that's above your head, the one to the left and the one to the right. So long as they hold, you've got a chance, haven't you? You've got a chance. As long as your shield holds. So long as those that are around you hold. I put that picture in because quite often we see pictures of armour and stuff and we don't necessarily think about them being used. But have you ever thought what it might be like to be holding a shield as some 16 and a half stone warrior comes at you with a battle club in their hand and gives it the full beans? So they don't just walk up. They give it absolute full pace. They're coming on at 20 plus miles an hour. This is going to hurt, isn't it? And you wonder if that shield's going to hold. And you're going to wonder if the arm that's holding the shield's going to be enough. So maybe you're dug in. Maybe the bottom of the shield's in the ground. And your feet with the Roman studs are in the ground. And you're just maybe hoping that this shield may not go. I wonder if you've ever been there. I wonder if that has been you. It's certainly been me. When the phony war, the war that people talk about, hits your life, well, it's different then, isn't it? It is a real war then. When you're being shredded and you think the shield might go, it's much, much harder then. It's much realer. Then it's not a phony war. It's not a war where other people die. It's your war. And you're up to your neck in it. I put the picture up because I got it yesterday. Or it might have been the day before. That's a Free Burma Ranger right there. And his job is to photograph the atrocities of the Burmese army. And there are a lot of those. I don't know if you've heard the news that Burma is no longer so bad at human rights records. Well, if you read the reports of the Free Burma Rangers, in fact, that man there, you'll find out that they are still murdering people. They murdered someone who was 103 years old just a few weeks ago. And his job is to photograph the atrocities and to report them online so that when those people in power in Burma answer for their crimes, there's a list of their crimes, which army unit, which commander, what date, who died, who was raped, whose village was taken off them, so they can answer for their crimes. And oddly enough, the Free Burma Rangers are rather wanted. In fact, the person who leads them is the most wanted man on the planet. And I'll have the privilege next year of working with him. Because there are some wars going on, real ones. And that guy there was hit by a mortar shell just a few weeks ago. And that's his arm getting patched up. He's better now, and he's back taking photographs. But sometimes we get hurt in a war. And when the war comes to our house, it's nasty. But is there an upside to pain, I wonder? I can't think of one. If you've ever been smacked in the mouth, as I have, you know what it's going to feel like. In fact, when you see the fist come in, you've got a pretty good idea of what this is going to feel like. But there's nothing quite like the event itself to explain to you what it feels like to be smacked in the mouth. To feel your skin part. It happens. It's happened to many of us. And when I look at you, I know there's some stuff that's hit you. And it hurt. And we're going to go grubbing around in some of that today. But not so as I don't want to hurt you again. I just want you to know that that's not the end of the story. People get better and evil will be over. But the war's real. And we are all in it. But there is a bit difference for you over most people. Now, does anyone really like reading? Anyone prepared to sight read this to us? Christine, thank you. I'll bring you the microphone. Please read that to us. There'll be another slide. It'll pop up in a moment.
Therefore, put on every piece of God's armour so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armour of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should.
Fantastic. Thank you, Christine. So here's our passage for the day, the passage that we're going to study, the familiar passage of Ephesians, the armour of God. And I'm going to go over here so I don't block the screen. Definitely don't block the screen. And I guess we could summarise the passage once we've got over the stand thing, which Jeremy gave us last week, with these two headings: get dressed and pray. Get dressed and pray. So slip those things on. And when you pray, you look a little bit like the icon on the lower side. Because you don't pray naked when you've put the armour on. You look a bit like that. Which is why your enemy doesn't want you praying. It's the last thing he wants. Especially not when you put that stuff on. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to learn to use the armour? Are we going to relearn to use the armour? And remember, the person who wrote this, he really knew how to fight. Pray for me in chains. Does Paul sound like someone who's losing? Or does he sound like someone who's grown up? Does Paul pray? Yes. Does he pray, Lord bless me? Lord bless my mum? Lord bless my dad? Is that how Paul prays? I don't think so. Is this the Paul who sang after his back flayed open? Yeah, that's Paul. Did the armour stop the whip taking the flesh out of his back? No. Did that touch him? No. What did Paul look like? He looked a little bit like the figure on the bottom right there. It didn't touch him because he knew how to fight. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And you see, prayer and armour go hand in hand. And we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer now. And we're going to see how the armour fits. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Why did the hypocrites pray? Why did they pray? Jesus gives us the answer. For they love to be seen to pray. Is that why you pray? Just think about your prayer life since we were last together on Sunday. Does it exist? Or do you pray like the hypocrites in church to be seen to pray? For if that's how you pray, then when you pray like that, you have received your reward. You got what you wanted. You got seen to pray. Well done. Well done. But Jesus said, don't pray like that, didn't he? So is there more to prayer than being seen to be praying? There probably is, isn't there? Thank you, Ian, by the way, for your prayer. Very helpful. See, we have to get the address right. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. So let's see how that fits. We'll come back to this. On the left is a belt. And the first part of the armour of God is put on the belt of truth. Truth. Now that's interesting. I'm going to tell the truth. I should be a person of truth. Who do I truly want to be? What values am I going to live to? Well, here's some values. Communication. We have an obligation to... This is a big corporation, by the way. We have an obligation to communicate. Anyone done one of these at work? Value statement. Just me. Come on, someone must have done one of these. Thank you, a few of you. Integrity. We work with our customers and prospects openly, honestly and sincerely. Excellence. We are satisfied with nothing less than the best, than the best in everything we do. Who's that? Whose corporation? What corporation is this? Any ideas? BT. Good shout. Any more tries? It's Enron. One of my colleagues reported on the collapse of Enron to the Senate. What went wrong? Can I suggest these were only words? They were just words? They didn't live this, did they? So truth is more than words. Truth is more than saying what should be heard. Truth is being who you say you are. Truth is then owning up to what that is and then improving that. That's truth, isn't it? So here are two truths which you can choose to own or not. But can I suggest they're a great place to start when you pray, when you don't pray, like the hypocrites, to be seen to pray. This is the beginning of prayer. God is your dad who loves you. Now, I was working with someone this week who was in a women's refuge with her mum, both pregnant at the same time. One through rape, the other through an abusive husband. And when I say God is your dad to a woman like that, that's not a positive thing to say. So if that's your experience of dad, I'm really sorry. And in a room like this, I promise you, this is someone's experience here. Okay? So I'm never glib these days about what's it like to be a human with a human father. Sometimes it's horrible. But God is your dad. And he's the kind of dad you actually do want. All right? He really, really loves you. He is selfless. He is self-organized. He is self-controlled. He will never harm you, always protect you, always provide, always invest, always teach, always demonstrate. He's the kind of dad you should have had. God is supreme over everything. Here's a really important test for you. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer, but don't answer me. Answer yourself and tell the truth. Not the Enron truth, the real truth. Why do you pray? I asked a missionary not that long ago. Why do you? What do you pray about? Oh, my kids mainly. Okay. That's interesting. Why do you pray? When have you actually really prayed? When's the church prayed? What is it that drives us to prayer? Because that will probably tell you who your master is. Because when your master's threatened, you'll seek help. So if your master is your income or your career, if your master is your desires, if your master is your beauty, your desire for a mate, your sexual prowess, if that's your master, then that's probably what you're going to pray about. If your master is your family, that's probably what you're going to pray about. Can I suggest that as you begin your prayer, you should do what Jesus taught you to do. Declare who is number one. Hallowed be your name. Set God's good name above everything you want, because God will never abuse you. All those things that could master you, they will be merciless in abusing you. But God never will. So if your priority when you pray is God, your good name over everything. Truth. Your kingdom come. The great thing about the kingdom of God is there's no downside to it. There's no downside. When the kingdom of darkness has been dealt with, which it will be, the kingdom of God will be all that remains. And there'll be no hungry people there. There'll be no one doing the wrong job. No one's elbows will have got them the job above you. You'll get the job that you should get. And no, you won't be on a cloud playing a harp. That's a load of medieval claptrap. Just amended my words there. but you know what I was thinking, okay? No, you'll probably be in a renewed earth doing a job like the one you're doing now, if you're doing the right job. And there won't be any sin. And you will be well paid. And you will eat properly. And you'll dress well. And the architecture will be fantastic. And the international agreements between nations will be fabulous. And they'll be led by the kings who led in the kingdom of God before it was all over. And some of those might be you. That's where you're headed. Your kingdom come is what you want in prayer, isn't it? Don't you want to live in a place like that? Isn't that your longing? Is that what you dream for? Or have you been so infected by Hollywood, by the games that you play, by the culture that you read, that you're actually dreaming of killing people? You're dreaming that you're some super stud with loads of sexual partners. Your dream is a big house. Your dream is a great car. Are those your dreams? Is that what you hope for? Or do you really hope and pray your kingdom come? God, my loving Father. The great thing about righteousness, the body armour of the Christian, is it's a lovely garment. And I'm so proud of this group of people because it is a fruitful group of people. Do you know, when I review the organisation that I work for, the thing I'm most frightened of is that there is no fruit. If there is no fruit, there is no future. The Bible clearly says, I am the vine, says Jesus. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. John the Baptist, the axe is at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down, not might be cut down. So what is a death sentence for an organization, a church, a ministry? No fruit. No fruit. So your life? Well, it needs to be like a tree planted near the water so it yields fruit in season. It's not always the season for fruiting. You might be in the wintertime right now. You won't be fruiting. But you do fruit. And collectively, you do fruit. I want you to hear an encouragement this morning. You fruit. Okay? You fruit. And your future is linked to your fruit, not to your budget. The shoes, fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Shalom. Are you dreaming for shalom? Is your life out of control? Do you self-harm because it's the only thing you can control? Is your life out of peace? Are you fresh out of peace? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ brings peace. That's those studded shoes that sit in the ground. Are you fitted with them? Do the shoes of the gospel of peace sit on your feet? Or have you taken them off? Because the gospel begins with a death. Utterly change your behaviour. The kingdom of heaven is here. Obey me. Follow me. Make a demonstration before everybody that you're going to die to the way you used to live. And you're going to live for me. Says the gospel. Utterly change your behaviour. The kingdom of heaven is here. The shoes of the gospel of peace, when you put them on, your behaviour changes. If you decide not to wear them, your behaviour will not change. Take up the shield of faith. Do your needs, do your daily needs dominate your anxiety, your mind? Is that where you're weak? If there is a God in heaven and he really does love you, will he not know that you have needs? Will he not know? Well, maybe it's been a while since you picked your shield up. Maybe you thought that the way you do your job is why you get provision. But maybe, just maybe, the grace of God was involved in your life path. Maybe when you pray, God answers your prayers. Maybe some of the struggling and the striving that you have, when you're pierced by many, many griefs, is you put your shield down and you carried on fighting anyway. Give us this day our needs. What does God say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He's not saying you abdicate any responsibility for the way you behave. Just don't forget to pray. Don't go on and on about it. Don't dominate your prayers. Give it one line. But don't forget to mention it, eh? And then thank him when he provides, eh? And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. I've read a book called No Future Without Forgiveness. I thoroughly recommend it. It's written by Desmond Tutu, who oversaw the Truth and Reconciliation hearings in South Africa. Tutu pretty much is credited with a lot of the glory that went to Mandela. But Mandela deflected some of it to Tutu. He said, that little man stopped this nation from entering into irreconcilable bloodshed. We were already in it, and somehow it didn't explode, and we didn't all murder each other. There was so much hatred in the country that when the balance of power changed, then reprisal was very likely. When the courts heard what people had done, they were going to lie in court. They were all going to stand together. They were all going to get off with it. The nation wasn't going to be able to afford to bring them all to justice. Therefore, people would not get justice. Therefore, they would take revenge. Therefore, they would start killing each other. Therefore, the streets were going to be bathed in blood. And so they came up with the Truth and Reconciliation hearings, where you just had to come and tell the truth. And if you told the truth, you wouldn't answer for your crimes. You didn't have to be sorry. You just had to tell the truth. You could laugh in the face of your victims if you wanted to, if you chose to do that. You just had to tell the truth and you would be set free. And there was a hearing about a massacre, and a group of security service officers stood in the dock. And the first one was really defensive about what they'd done that day. And all the families were in court. And he just, like, brazened it out. He took the party line. He just said it all went wrong. And then a second officer got in the dock, and the place is ready to lynch them. The tension in the room was really bad, and Tutu thought they might lose control of the court. Now, people here had lost family members, and the people who'd done it were standing in the dock. So they had admitted it was us, but then they were saying, well, you know, these things happen. Number two goes in the dock, and he said, I'm really sorry. I'll live with this for the rest of my life. Please forgive me. Just forgive me. And Tutu says, I broke down. I would never let it happen again because I was presiding over the court. But the change in the community was, this guy's saying, these are my men and they'll live with it forever. They shot your friends. Please, let us back. It's very, very difficult to forgive. It's extremely difficult if you're in here this morning and you have stuff that is real injurious stuff that has been done to you. For you to forgive is extremely costly. But let me tell you, whoever needs that forgiveness can't afford you. They can't afford it, and they will live with it forever. Some of them have probably already died without it. But Jesus knows about forgiveness. And the helmet of salvation is all about forgiveness. You need to be saved. And when you are, you are. And when it's paid in full, there's nothing left to pay. We often have a picture of a sword, don't we? And it's strapped around your waist, or it's in a case on the wall. But that's not what swords are for. And if you need them, you need to be able to use them. And I really like the picture of the sword that we've got here, with a soldier holding it cocked, ready to use the thing. So why have I lied that? To do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can I suggest to you that if you didn't have the word of God, you wouldn't know what was evil? You'd have an idea because you've got a conscience and you're built to know good from evil. But you can't be certain. And lobby groups will convince you that things they want to do are not evil. At the moment, we're reconfiguring our marriage laws, aren't we? We're looking at stuff as a nation. Well, what's right, what's wrong? And the next set of marriage laws that will come will be polygamy. Can we have three-way couples, four, five-way couples? Is that okay? Well, who says not? Who says not? Why can't we have paedophilia? You know, if the kid's enjoying it and I'm enjoying it, what's wrong with that? Horrible stuff. Needs to be known as horrible stuff. And called horrible stuff. And the problem is, who's got the right to say that? Well, maybe, just maybe, God. And you'll notice that when Jesus finds himself in temptation, he really knows how to use the sword. He's even up against a swordsman, and he's better. And I hope you've learned to pray, "Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil." And I hope that when you are in temptation, it is what you recall of what you have read from the Word of God that you will use to defeat it, because it works. Taken as a collective, the armour of God is a powerful collection of things to use in prayer. And can I suggest, as humbly as I can, it is the only collection of things to use in prayer? The belt of truth, the body armour of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the key to your victorious life, to your shield not being the shield that fails in the wall. Now on to pray, and I'd like us to stand to pray. And I'd like to pray an extended version of the Lord's Prayer, if that's okay. And I want us to pray this together. But please, can I ask you to think again about prayer? When you pray, why do you pray? So let's stand and pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, your name is number one. You will be my master and you alone. I place my desires, the things I dream about, at your feet. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I want it, Lord. I want your kingdom more than my desires. I want your justice more than, you know, my self-interest. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. I know it's good where you live. I want that here. I want that in my house. I want that in my family. I want that in my town, in my country, in my world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know my needs, Lord. Please provide for them. Give me my daily bread. And forgive me my sins. Without your forgiveness, I'm lost. Forgive me my sins. And having received your forgiveness, I release those who have harmed me from my desire for revenge. I release them to you, that your justice prevail and your forgiveness. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, you know I'm kind of pre-wired to want it. But I know from reading your word that that will do me no good. So whilst I do like the sugar coating on sin, I know that it will eat me as I devour it. So lead me not into temptation. I know there is an enemy, and I know he hates me. Deliver me from me. Deliver me from him. And Lord, however successful this goes, I will always remember it's your kingdom. Your glory. Amen.